Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Mark the Evangelist, author of one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So today Mark, which means today is a day to celebrate the gift of the Word of God. And for Anuman people who are dedicated to pondering the Word, this is a joyful feast day. If we didn't have the Gospels, if we didn't have the Scriptures, it'd be a lot harder to ponder the message. So unlike the early church, where the sacred texts weren't even written yet, we have, and have had for centuries, written texts which are the Word of God in the words of man. It's just a priceless treasure. Once we take a step past that initial gratitude and joy in the Word, well, then we get into the very complex world of Scripture scholars, which is a great field of study, but also a terrible mess, because you know how Scripture scholars, they examine things that, and they ask questions that we might not even think of. As I was reflecting on this, the image that came to my mind was a candy store that was in our neighborhood when we were growing up, a very, very high level, you know, fancy candy store, not just, you know, factory made, but homemade, handmade, dipped chocolates and things like this. So when you go into it's still there, it's a family run business. When you go into this candy store, it's like going into heaven. The aroma alone is enough to bring you into ecstasy. And you look around and there's just an amazing array of just all sorts of delicious candies. There's the hard candies and the licorices, and then there's the chocolates, of course, and then there's the nuts, and they're on these rotating trays of mixed nuts with, you know, yellow lights on them, like golden, and the toffees and the peanut brittles and all these different things, and all made right there in the store, so fresh and beautiful. So, and that's what we should, that's the initial reaction we should have when we have the Scriptures. We said, this place, this collection of sacred writings is just, it's like going into heaven. This is God speaking to us. But the Scripture scholars are like the people who have been in that store a long time, and they've sorted out what's better and what's worse. And they say, well, these candies are not really as good as these. You know, this chocolate is much better than that chocolate. You know, this is an award-winning something or other, and that one is not. And you start to realize, well, I guess if you have to make some distinctions. Now, in the church, the whole Bible is the inspired Word of God, every word of it, every book in it. But the best of the best is the Gospels, the four Gospels. So whenever we read the Gospel, we all stand up and sing Alleluia. That's a sign, a liturgical sign, that we're dealing with the best in the store here. Maybe if you don't like the candy store analogy, you can think of a jewelry store. You ever been in a jewelry store? It's all glittering and gold and jewels. But some of those necklaces are worth 1,000 pesos, and some are worth 500,000. I don't know. They'll look good to me. Anyway, but the best of the Scriptures are the Gospels. Now, and that's about what most people would be able, most Catholics would be able to identify. The Gospels are our most precious treasure in the Scriptures. And most people, I see most Catholics, don't make much distinction between one Gospel and another. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay. But if you look a little closer, you realize that they're not all exactly the same. Certainly John is different than the other three, the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And then, if you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Mark is shorter and kind of rougher and different. And most of Mark, in fact, about 90% of Mark is included in Matthew. So a lot of people in the history of the church have treated Mark as a kind of lower quality candy by comparison to Matthew. Matthew was considered the premier gospel because it was more complete and it was better structured, very clearly laid out. Luke's gospel is written in very, very high quality Greek, Mark's gospel is kind of like tabloid style. It's just very, not slang exactly, but very basic Greek style. John's gospel, that's a whole different thing. John's gospel is like entering into mysticism. So Mark's gospel was neglected, largely neglected, or not thought that highly of. Then, as you get into modern scripture scholarship, then they start asking, well, who is this Mark, and what's his theological motivation for writing? And then you really get into complexities of why does Mark have this, and Matthew doesn't have it, and Matthew has this, and Mark doesn't have it, and where did they get it, and who are these people, and who actually wrote it, and who edited it, and what language did they write it in, and all these things. So then it becomes a mess, because you can't figure out those things, and you start to lose the forest or the trees, or you start to miss the whole point of the Word of God, trying to figure out why this Greek word is here and not there. Well, let's focus for a moment on Mark. Now, whenever we deal with the Gospels, we're always dealing with the person and the book. There's Mark the man, and there's Mark the book of the Gospel of Mark. Same is true of all the Gospels. A funny thing about the Gospels, they don't say much about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark never mentions himself. No mention of Mark in the Gospel of Mark. Matthew, well, he has to mention himself because he's one of the 12, but he always identifies himself as a tax collector. Luke, there's no mention of Luke in the Gospel of Luke. And there's no mention of John in the Gospel of John. John doesn't even give a list of the apostles. And when he refers to himself, he refers to the sons of Zebedee. And he refers to the beloved disciple. So as if he can't really mention his name. My point here is that the Gospels are very clearly not about the evangelists. And that's correct. Good lesson for all of us. It's not about Mark. Mark is not about Mark. Matthew's not about Matthew. Luke's not about Luke. John's not about John. It's all about Jesus Christ. And this is because Jesus said, here is what he said to the 11. This is an ascension passage. So we're talking about after the resurrection, Jesus appears to the 11. Jesus says, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Proclaim the gospel. Not proclaim yourself, proclaim the gospel. Now, of course we're part of the gospel, we're part of the body of Christ. Our experience becomes part of what we share with others. It's not as if we're supposed to completely delete ourselves. That would be unreal, and not even possible, because if you're going to be an authentic evangelizer, you have to be yourself, and you have to do it your own way. That's why Mark's gospel is different than Matthew's and Luke's and John's. All the gospels have these unique qualities because they're written by different people. One of the reasons why Mark's gospel was looked down on is because Matthew was one of the 12, so he was an eyewitness. So his must be better than Mark. But nowadays, the scripture scholars say, well, probably Mark wrote his first. And Matthew used Mark as a basis for making his more complete story. I don't know. And it doesn't really matter that much, because what matters is the gospel itself, the message of Jesus Christ, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel. One of the interesting things, and I think can be fruitful if we approach it in the right spirit, is to see what's unique to each of the gospels. Now, it's harder in Mark because there isn't that much which is only in Mark. But there are some passages which are only in Mark, and they're interesting. Like, he has a number of Aramaic words. The actual language that Jesus spoke was Aramaic. And Mark, who probably also spoke Aramaic, he preserves some of them. You remember Ephatha, Talitha Ko'om, Eli Eli Lama Sabachthani, and the Aramaic expressions which are preserved. Most of them only in Mark's gospel. Now, scripture scholars will go into what's the difference between Hebrew and Aramaic, and are they two different languages, or is one a dialect of the other, and blah, blah, blah. But the thing that it's beautiful here is Mark is trying to hand on to us the reality of what Jesus spoke. It's like a contact point with the Lord. Another passage that comes to mind, Mark's gospel, when he's explaining one of the parables about the word as a seed. Mark is the only one who says the seed grows by itself and the farmer doesn't know how it happens. You know that passage. I love that one. And it's almost as if Mark had this experience himself. He was an evangelist. He would go and proclaim the gospel. He didn't know how it was going to grow. And the next day he would get up and find that somebody believed. And I think that's probably, that's my own pondering. Why did he put that in there? Well, because that's how it works. A preacher doesn't know which of the words is going to take root. No one knows. But God is the one who makes the seed grow, and the farmer doesn't know how it happens. Another one of the details in Mark's gospel is during the Passion, when Jesus is arrested, the soldiers lay hands on a young man, and they grab his cloak, and the man runs away, leaving the cloak in their hands. He runs away naked. You know that passage? That's only in Mark's gospel. And it's a little puzzling. Well, who is this young man? And why does Mark even mention him, and why did the other gospels not mention him? Interesting detail. So some speculate that that's Mark himself. Maybe that was Mark. He was a young man. He was a follower. He was afraid of being caught, and he ran off naked and as if to say stripped of everything. But the scholars point out that the only other time a young man is mentioned in Mark's gospel is at the time of the resurrection, when the women go to the tomb and they find the tomb empty. Who's in there? A young man. They say, well, is that the same young man? Now, not everyone, but most people say that's an angel, because the other gospels say an angel was in the tomb, and the angel is the one who told the women, he's not here, he's risen. But in Mark's gospel, it says they saw a young man who told them that he was risen, and then the women ran away and didn't tell anyone. It's another feature of Mark's gospel. He's not afraid to put in details that make the disciples look bad. As if to say, I'm just telling the story. I'm telling the exact story, and I'm not wasting my time. I'm going to give you the details. I'm going to give you the essentials. I'm going to give you the flavor of it. And I'm going to plant the seed, and I don't know how it grows. That's Mark's style. Okay, so when we reflect on these things, we say, well, here's one of the ways God speaks to us. Here's one of the men God chose to hand on his word to us. It's nice to know that he's not like Matthew, because no one is like Matthew, because no one is like anybody else. We can make comparisons, but it only gets us so far. It shows us that there are similarities and differences, but it doesn't tell us who we are. We're not Mark. We're not Matthew. We're not Paul. I am myself, and you are yourself, and each one of us has a unique place in the church's task of evangelization. A unique personality, a unique personal experience, a unique way of living and handing on what we have received. And that's the way God did it. There's something freeing in knowing that you don't have to do it the way someone else did. Now, we have to all hand on the same gospel. We can't be so unique that we deviate from what's handed on to us. That's another problem scripture scholars get into. They make up interpretations that are obviously violations of the message. But no, we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and we have one gospel. Yes, there's four canonical versions of it, but we have one message to hand on. It's Jesus Christ. It's not about us. Our life is not about us. Our mission, our ministry, our evangelistic efforts are not about us. Even success or failure is not up to us. We don't know how the seed grows. We might be running off naked. Well, okay. Or we might be in the tomb telling people Jesus is risen. It might be that young man. What's he doing in the tomb? Well, what are we doing in the tomb? That's part of the experience of life. Sometimes we're in a tomb. Sickness, poverty, whatever, deprivation, conflict, darkness. The message is still, he is risen, he's not here. That's still the message of the faith, message of the gospel. So as we celebrate St. Mark, we are, as I say, we're grateful. We're grateful for the gift of the word. We're grateful for Mark's mission and what he has written down, what he's handed on, what has been preserved in the church ever since. But we're also welcoming our own unique role in the church's task of evangelization. We welcome it, we celebrate it, we don't always understand it, but it's not about us. So we can rejoice to be part of this mission of proclaiming the gospel.